What's up, Noel Nation? Florida State gets the win, win number two, against Charleston Southern, 41-7. Hey, look, I know this is a bad FCS team. I understand that, but you know what? We haven't had a whole lot of these, so we're just going to enjoy this one. We're just going to take a second to enjoy this win. Florida State gets the win number two. And you know what? They did it in dominating fashion, which is what you wanted to see. This game started slow. They had me worried there for a second. But they pull it out, you know, they pull away in the end. They actually cover the spread at 33.5, barely by half a point, 34 points. But they get the win, and that's really just what we wanted to see. And, you know, when you look at this game, there was obviously some negatives, obviously some positives from this. I don't really want to be negative about it because, you know, it's just been nothing but negative this entire season. But I wanted to come on here and spend a few minutes with you guys to do an instant reaction on this game because, you know, we haven't done one of these in a while because Florida State hasn't had a win, hasn't really had much positive to talk about. So got just a few minutes, about 30 minutes or so that I can jump on with you guys and talk. But look, hey, we got the win, 41-7 over Charleston Southern. They're a terrible team. I mean, this is what I told you guys coming into this game, that Charleston Southern was a different level of suck. And so you expected Florida State to win. And again, the way the game started had you a little bit nervous. You know, they're really, I think it was 3-0 or scoreless in the first quarter, kind of a slow start, but then they got rolling. And, you know, I really think more than anything, more than even the fans needing this win, more than, you know, anything really is the fact that the players were out there having fun. You saw some smiles today on the sideline. And man, that's just, this team just needs something positive, anything positive at this point to kind of buoy some hope to, you know, especially because next week, you got a big game next week, rivalry game coming into Doak. Obviously, Florida gets a big win over Ole Miss. We'll talk about that here in just a second. But again, you know, Florida State gets the win here. And not only do you finally, you know, you finally break that 21-point ceiling. This is the most points you've scored all season. Most, for, you know, first time you broke 21 points since week zero. Obviously, that's nice to see. You know, I was worried that we weren't going to really score that much at the way things went going. But there were some positives and negatives, like I said, that we'll get into. I think some of the negatives here, obviously, and this offensive line just continues to struggle. We really struggled to kind of push around a bad FCS team. So, you know, really looking at next year, I think you need a total reset on that offensive line. I would like to see really 5 new starters. Obviously, you're going to have a new offensive line coach, new analysts, and things like that. Some of the positives, though, let's focus on that. You know, Florida State goes with Luke Cromenhawk to get his first start of the season. I think he looked pretty good in this game. You know, there was a little bit of a slow start because of that offensive line and how poorly they were protecting him. But, I mean, the guy's got some wheels. You saw a couple of plays on read options where he made the right read, pulled the ball, had a couple nice runs there, made a couple of good throws to not only hit the receivers, but also had a couple where he, you know, he delivered a ball into a tight window. And so, you know, that was nice to see as well. Not only from a point total standpoint, Florida State also tops 300 yards in a game for the first time this season. Again, I know the problem is we're talking about this happening in game 11 against a bad FCS team, but we're going to take what we can get, guys. They rushed for 175 yards on the ground, 240 through the air. We had 2 takeaways in this game. That's something that Florida State has only had 3 this entire season. So that was pretty fun to see there. You held Charleston Southern to 275 yards. Not super excited about the way that game ended. You know, you give up the touchdown and then you give up the onside. Then you almost let them score again. You know, we were joking, me and Michael were joking, who he's traveling, so he can't be here right now. But, you know, maybe you demote Randy and then fire him because, man, I really wanted that shutout. Really wanted to see the spiked baseball get delivered. But it is what it is. So, you know, again, man, just enjoying this because we haven't had a whole lot of these. And obviously, you know, I think more than anything, you come off that bye week. You were down a lot of people today, too. And I don't know if that's just injuries or they're just resting people for this game because you knew you were probably going to win this one. They were without 5 or 6 starters. You saw them spread the ball around a ton. I think they said there was 10 different receivers that caught passes. You saw, you know, they basically emptied the bench at running back. You saw both quarterbacks get in there. I really would have liked to have seen Trevor Jackson get a couple snaps that, you know, given the way that you only got Florida left. Probably not going to see him the rest, you know, throughout the rest of the season there. But yeah, man, I mean, just really kind of happy to get this win here. You know, this was a it was a bad team, but we'll take what we can get. I thought Luke had a pretty good game, 13 of 20 for 209 yards and three touchdowns. Brock came in, went 3 for 3 for 31 yards. It was nice to see Cam Davis come back. I know he was injured, and, you know, he made his return today, 9 carries, 39 yards, 4.3 yards per carry. Keziah Holmes had a big game today too. You know, I don't think we've really seen much of him since he dropped that screen pass against Memphis. 3 carries, 38 yards, 12.7 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns. That was nice to see as well. Tua Philly, 6 carries for 33 yards. So, you know, again, man, I think that this is just, it's positive momentum, and that's all you want. Even against a bad team, you put up 41 points, you covered the spread. And so pretty happy about that. Obviously, you got a big game coming up next week against Florida inside Doak Campbell Stadium. And, you know, if you had won this game like 21 to 10 or something like that, and then they're coming off that win against Ole Miss, followed by a win against LSU there, and then they actually played Georgia pretty tough before they lost Lagway in that game, man, you would have just felt pretty hopeless. And I don't know that this buoys your hope for that game, but it gives you something positive going into that because you actually took care of business. And so Unconquered Noel mentions here that we scored more than 16, and so that was nice. You actually, you know, you scored the most points since week zero in the first half, and so that was nice to see. This was a game you could immediately see the difference in athletes. You saw that, you know, Florida State was just a bigger, more physical, more talented team. But man, that offensive line is still very concerning with some of the pressures that they gave up. Gave up at least, I think, 2 sacks in the first half. That was a little bit concerning to see there. You know, you're probably going to get 8 up front next week. I mean, there's really just no way around it against Florida. But I think the one thing about this, because obviously to me, kind of what this message sends with them starting Luke Kromenhawk and letting him play for the majority of the game, I think that's who they're trying to build to the future with. Now, they're still probably going to look at a portal quarterback, you know, in this offseason, because you may lose Brock there, you know, because, I mean, this was not a good look for him not to play at all till the very end, till the game was already in garbage time. And so I think with Luke, these reps are going to be invaluable going forward. I mean, he got a full, you know, got a start and got basically a full game under his belt. So that probably tells me he's going to start next week at Florida too, or, you know, against Florida too. So this will help him build some confidence, get in some rhythm with these young guys. But that's another big positive that I want to talk about. You know, we mentioned how Luke had a pretty good game, but I think there was a lot of positive from the young guys. Man, these young tight ends just continue to produce. Landon Thomas, 2 catches for 36 yards. You also saw Amari Williams, 2 catches, 11 yards and a touchdown there. You know, you saw a couple of other guys get involved in the receiving game. Mekhi Dansey had 1 catch for 38 yards. You also had B.J. Gibson get involved, 2 catches for 14 yards. So, you know, you got some young talent on this team. I think really the biggest concern going into this offseason from your current roster standpoint, you just got to be able to keep some of these guys on the team because, you know, you have some things to build around. Now, you're going to have to go bring in a lot of pieces from the portal, but you have some young guys that just aren't quite there yet, but, you know, they're getting there. They're getting these reps, and that is something that is really important for building for the future. And, you know, we'll see how it looks again next week, but, you know, these are guys that haven't got a lot of playing time, and so now they're starting to get on the field, and obviously that is nice to see. I think defense had a pretty good game there up until the end, but a lot of that was, you know, you're getting down way down the depth chart into some third stringers, you know, some walk-ons probably there at the end. I will say that Juice Cryer, I did see he was had a cart, you know, the one that like you put your knee on. So probably not going to see him the rest of the season. That's unfortunate. You've been really decimated at linebacker, but the defensive line dominated today. And I know that, again, that's a bad offense for a bad FCS team, but, you know, that's what you want to see, because I think your hope when you look at next week is you're going to have to rely on that defense. You're going to have to keep this to a low scoring game. You know, for you to have any hope of a chance next week against Florida, you're going to want to keep that game under, you know, probably say 20 points or so. But yeah, I mean, it's a good win. And, you know, I want to mention here that Patrick says that he did seem like he had rhythm with the kids, that Glenn didn't have that. Yeah, I think that's why they're rolling with Luke, because not only do you see Luke's legs show up in these games, you also see the arm talent. And it's hard to really judge these quarterbacks. And we've talked about this before. It's hard to judge the quarterbacks. It's hard to judge any aspect of this offense behind this offensive line. It's just tough. But you've seen flashes here and there from Luke, and you're starting to see that chemistry with him and the young guys here. So I want to throw this up on the screen here. Jeff Hill comes in off the top rope with the super chat here. Really appreciate this, Jeff. Says, you know, hey, listen, we better have showed up this game and blew out this team, because if we somehow got embarrassed and lost this team, I would have drove up to Tallahassee and knock on Michael Alford and would have said Norvell needs to go right now. Yes, I totally agree with you, Jeff. You know, I know there were probably some people that were actually cheering for us to lose this game because they thought there was the thought process that if Florida State loses this game, you would have fired Mike Norvell. I was in that same boat. If they had lost to a 1-10 FCS team, yes, I think he probably would have gotten fired after this game. I don't think there's any way you could have recovered from that. But, you know, I know they had some visitors for this game too. So you just wanted to show some life. You wanted to show some fight, man. And I think they did that even with the slow start. So that part was good to see. Again, they played a ton of people today. And so, you know, just to recap for those just joining us, again, this is the first time Florida State's got over 300 yards in a season and also scored over 21 points in the season. We finally broke the 21-point ceiling. You know, we were the only team in FBS and FCS to not score over 21 points this season. And so that's nice to see. With a 415-yard performance, 240 through the air, 175 on the ground. Third downs were much better in this game, 6 of 10. You know, it's funny because I was texting back and forth with some friends of mine during this game, and people were talking about Randy as DC and things like that. And it's like, I don't want to get caught up in the window dressing of this game looked great against a 1-10 FCS or 1-11 now FCS team. So don't let this become smoke and mirrors to think that all of a sudden I joked, I tweeted, I posted on social media. Most of you guys saw that. Oh, we're back now. You know, there's no way the committee can leave us out. Just having some fun with it. You know, definitely those things are fun to say, right? And I get that, but it's still a really, really bad team. And so you have to remember that. This is what they should have done against that team. We were a 33.5-point favorite when we haven't scored over 21 points all season. So that tells you we did exactly what was expected from them. But, you know, at the same time, man, sometimes it just takes momentum. Sometimes it just takes something good. I mean, imagine the psyche, the mentality of this team coming into this game. When you are on a 6-game losing streak, you're 1-9, you just got blown out by Notre Dame, you had a bye week to sit there and stew on that. They needed something positive. You know, we were worried about, me and Michael talked about before this game that we were worried a little bit here that 1:30 kick against a kind of a bad team that they might lay down in this game. They might not give maximum effort in this game. But I don't think that was the case. I was surprised. I thought they actually played pretty hard in this one. And so you came out and you did what you're supposed to do. So I think just the positive, seeing guys smile, seeing guys have fun, you know, sometimes that just that creates a little bit more investment. That will probably carry over into next week against Florida because it is a rivalry game and you want to see them show up in that one. So Jeff comes off the top rope again here and says, one thing I would say, I know the competition, who we are playing, but even when we play tougher competition, I always thought Luke was the better quarterback, and I think he's our future, maybe not for next season. Jeff, I agree with you. For me, it was the Duke game when you saw him come in and you saw him make that throw. Of course, it was dropped to Kentron Portier there in the end zone. That was an NFL-level slow throw. Stepped up in the pocket, avoided the pressure, and delivered a dime. You can see it from Luke, but again, it's so hard to judge anything based on this offense, what you're doing behind this offensive line. I mean, again, there was a lot of pressure in his face, 2 sacks in that first half. That's just not good. And it's probably going to be tough for him next week, but you see it from him. Now, Jeff, I agree with you that I think you're seeing what you need from Luke. But I think the situation that you find yourself in right now is because this season was so bad, you need to win right now. Next, and I don't mean like, well, I mean, next week would be great, but I mean in 2025, for them to get the stink off this program, to get the momentum back rolling with this new staff, to get back in the good graces of your fan bases, to avoid getting fired, they need to win next year. And so I don't know that you can risk next year, risk all of that with Luke Kromenhawk. I think you still need to go look at a veteran quarterback in the portal, give him one more season to develop, and then maybe you look at that going forward. So yes, I am all there with taking a veteran quarterback out of the portal. But I do think, let's just say hypothetically that you get Brennan Marion as your offensive coordinator. You know, this is something that we're going to expand on later in another episode, but there is that belief that you have to have like a Jordan Travis, a Lamar Jackson type of guy to run the go-go offense. And that's not really the case. If you look at what UNLV did last year versus this year, their offense was pretty similar. You know, now if you even take out the one game that they played against Michigan, which was the number one team or the number one defense last year, it's step for step with their offensive production. And that guy was not very mobile. I think his name was Mayava. He's at USC now. I looked it up. He has a very similar 40 time to Luke Kromenhawk. So I think Luke can be a good fit in that go-go offense. I just think he probably needs about another year. And that's what David says here, chimes in, you know, and says that he thinks, it's good to get a win, but we need a quarterback from the portal. So, yeah, man, I am with you there. It just really depends on how Luke develops going into the offseason. But I think you can see something there. You can see the future from Luke. I don't think he planned on getting this much experience this year because of how bad things are. But, yeah, man, I think you're seeing it from him. But, you know, I still come back to this. When you talk about any quarterback on this roster, even DJU, I think when you come back to it, you go, how much different would this team look if you had a decent offensive line? If you even had that 2022 offensive line where you could run the ball consistently, where you didn't have pressure in your face all the time, I think this offense looks completely different. I think this team looks completely different because you can just tell, man, they can't do anything behind this group. I mean, you see the way they got pushed around by Charleston Southern's defensive front, who is by far the worst defensive front, size, talent, athletic ability-wise that you're going to see all season. You know, they brought a lot of pressure in this game because they knew you couldn't stop it. We missed a lot of blitz pickup there. So I think when you look at this game, of course, there's positives. There's good things that we've talked about with what you saw from the young players. You have got to fix that offensive line. No matter what you do at quarterback next year, you could go literally get Lamar Jackson out of the portal. You still need to fix this offensive line because it's terrible. Now, obviously, you're going to lose most of these starters because they are upperclassmen, but I think you need a complete reset on that offensive line. I think you need to see 5 new starters. You know, there's been some rumors about moving Chris Thompson over to the offensive line position. I don't think so. I think they're going to pretty much try and clean house from everybody there. But I do think I would like them to make a big hire on the offensive line at that position coach. I think they need to go out and make a splash hire. I think, you know, whatever. I don't care if you have the highest paid offensive line coach in the country. I think that needs to happen because you're going to need someone that guys are going to want to come play for, because this is 1,000% the Achilles heel of this team right now. And you can tell. So, but yeah, I mean, hey, you got to win. It's been a long time coming. It's nice to see. You know, Doak was a little bit empty today. That was kind of tough to watch, but you know, a 130 game against a bad FCS team. But again, I'm hoping that this brings some momentum into next week. You know, I'll be down there in Tallahassee for that Florida game. You know, pray for me because it might be a little bit rough. So it's going to be interesting to see how they show up next week. I mean, again, you have a rivalry game in Doak, last game of the season, because there is no bowl or anything like that. It's going to be a lot of these seniors' last game in Garnet and Gold. So you really hope they just show up and let it all hang out. You got literally nothing to lose. You know, hopefully maybe there's some trick plays in there or something like that. But yeah, I mean, you got to let it all hang out next week against Florida. Now, it's going to be tough because I will say the one thing to give them credit, you know, there was a lot of people that I know from Florida that were really pissed when they decided to keep Billy Napier and extend him for another year. But at the same time, like when I saw them play against Georgia in that game that I was at, they still play hard for Billy Napier. And then they went out and got LSU. They got the win there. Now they beat Ole Miss. That team is, you know, they got the momentum right now. So they're playing really well. So that's going to be a tough game. Now, hey, crazier things happen. miracles have happened. We've seen so many upsets happen this year. I mean, look, Florida just got an upset today against Ole Miss. So, you know, if you could pull that off, it would be huge. I'm not expecting that, but it would be huge. But, you know, I think you really feel better about going into that game, coming off a bye week, coming off a big, you know, I don't mean big in the sense of the game, but big in the sense of you handle business like you should have against Charleston Southern. And I would be pretty positive that even as bad as we are, that during the bye week after Notre Dame, before this game, they had probably already started to do some install for Florida. So, you know, they've talked about that. They prepare for those games throughout the season. We'll get to some comments here. Dustin McDonald says, nobody on offense can stay. I'm with you, dude. I'm 100% with you. I think it's going to be a complete reset. You know, from what I'm hearing, that you may retain one or two coaches, and it's probably going to be from the defensive side and like a Patrick Surtain. Maybe you look at, you know, John Papuchis as a special teams coordinator, but I think it's going to be a complete reset. I also think you need to find a dedicated offensive coordinator that can come in here and take over play calling. I mean, let's be honest, guys, when the ACC Network Extra crew is criticizing your play calling by that first, that first play that they ran on the 1 yard line out of their end zone that almost resulted in a safety, it's just not working. I mean, I think you need to do something different. But I do think, unless he gets a head coaching job, I do think it's going to be Brennan Marion coming in as the offensive coordinator. I know people were a little bit upset watching that UNLV game last night, but it was in the rain. They still scored 27 points, could have put up 34, but they took a knee there at like the 10-yard line going in to end the game. And look, UNLV, I don't think this gets talked about enough. That UNLV team has been terrible for a really, really long time. But at the same time, when you look at that, you know, these guys they've got them with back-to-back eight or nine win seasons. So, you know, they're really doing stuff at UNLV, and I think that offense is leading the charge, so that's going to be huge there. But yeah, man, I mean, it's just like, you know, you got to be happy with a win because we haven't had many of these, so you just kind of got to enjoy it. You know, hey, I'm with you. I hope for a great game next week. Really, I don't know that we're going to, like, win, but I think at the end of the day, you really want to just see them be competitive. You want to see them come out and play hard and really just give Florida a fight. You know what I mean? Don't go out there and get blown out because they got all the momentum right now. They're not going to overlook you. That is it's a rivalry game. And look, you know, the funny thing is Florida's got all this momentum. They're still a 6-win team. They're still, you know, they're still just got bowl eligible. So it's not like they're, you know, they're going to overlook you going into the SEC championship or the playoffs or anything like that. So, you know, just come out and play hard and see what you can do. But this is going to, you know, this is huge, man. I mean, I know it's a 1-10 FCS team, and I've said this 100 times, but you got Luke a full game of reps here with the young guys, with the young tight ends. You saw BJ Gibson get in there today. You saw the running backs have a nice game. I think that does buoy you into next week a little bit, just with your hope, with your psyche, you know, because again, like I talked about before, man, imagine where this team is at. Imagine where this coaching staff is at mentally. And then the way you saw this game start, man, I was nervous. I know most of you were nervous, you know, probably with me there for a minute, thinking that we might blow this, or even if we don't blow it, it might not be a very impressive win. So, you know, we'll see there. Now, something I want to touch on here with Unconquerable mentions, just hope Marion brings his wide receivers coach and then Norvell hires a great O-line coach. I agree. You know, I think one thing here that I want to talk about is, and we can go ahead and bring Jeff's in here too, because he contributes again, and we appreciate that. Jeff says, these hires are very important. They have to be good elite recruiters. They can't mess this up. Jeff, I am with you. That is one thing that we've talked about. You have to nail these hires. Just as much as you have to nail the portal this offseason, you have to nail these hires. And I do think, and we haven't had a chance to talk about this yet because he committed after we recorded, but, you know, with the kid that – the quarterback that you just flipped from Oklahoma, to me, that signals that you're going to get the Kevin Johns from Oklahoma, the interim OC. Now, actually, he's the interim co-OC. He started as an offensive analyst there. He was actually Mike Norvell's offensive coordinator back in the day. He's been an offensive coordinator at a lot of stops, so he's got a lot of experience. That's an underwhelming hire at OC to me. I'm not in favor of that at all. But if you want to bring him in as, say, a quarterback's coach or an offensive analyst, I think that may be something that you can look at there. With that being said, I think the fact that the kid flipped from Oklahoma, I think that tells you that he's coming in some capacity, right? We just don't know what yet, because we feel like Brandon Marion is going to be the hire. That's who I think. Like, if I had to bet on it, that's who I think it is, pending he doesn't take a head coaching job before then. But I think when you look at him coming in with that kid flipping, he's not just going to flip to Florida State, because it's funny. I saw on social media, he said that he was at the Florida State game last year in 2023. He's going to be on campus again next week for the Florida State game again in 2024. He doesn't just randomly flip to Florida State, a team that he hasn't been on campus in a year, unless you know that Kevin Johns is probably coming to Tallahassee in some form or fashion. But I don't think he comes as the OC. I think that would be a really underwhelming hire. But I do think you could see him being a quarterback's coach, because I don't think he's going to flip based on Marion as a rumor, because we don't know yet, because he's going to garner a lot of interest. And so I think if you could get him as your quarterback's coach, and where I'm going with this is I would like to see Brandon Marion actually be your OC / wide receiver coach. That is, to me, your ideal setup. Because again, remember what he did at Texas. He was only there for 1 year, but he helped win some big recruiting battles, got five-star wide receiver and 2 4-star wide receivers to help them get those commits in the one season he was there under Sarkisian. And then you also look at when he was at Pitt, he helped develop a Biletnikoff winner in Jordan Addison. So to me, I would love to see him be your wide receiver coach. I know it's kind of more common to have your OC as your quarterback coach, but you could get Kevin Johns in there to be your quarterback's coach. And I think what that does is it at least puts more experience in the room, right? Because you look at this year's staff, Tony Tokaris was elevated from an analyst. Alex Atkins came from a offensive line coach / OC and title from Charlotte. So at least with these guys coming in, that you are getting more experience. You're getting more voices in the room that have done this at Power 4 programs at a high level, have been involved in some good offenses. Now, I know Brandon Marion has never been a Power 4 coordinator, you know, but he's played under Gus Malzahn. He's played under Mike Norvell. He's played under Todd Graham. He's coached with Steve Sarkisian. And now he's had 2 years of OC experience there at UNLV. So I think that's really going to help. Not only that, but just to get in some experienced guys around them. I think you need to make a splash hired offensive line coach, like I said. So that's kind of looking forward, you know, and the Kevin Sperry kid that you flipped from Oklahoma. You know, I know there's some mixed feelings on him, on where people are at with that. You know, kind of gives me some Baker Mayfield vibes here. You know, we'll see. I'll have to watch some film on him. Kind of that same style or same body build, same size, Texas kid committed to Oklahoma. You know, and so we'll see, man. I mean, he plays in a tough division in Texas high school football. So, look, I know some people were mad because he wasn't quite as highly ranked in the star recruitings or star rankings. That doesn't a whole lot matter, because remember, DJ was a consensus 5-star. He's better than the commit that you got, so you needed to get somebody in the fold. So I like that too. You also have the number 5 quarterback in 2026 still committed with the Brady Smeagol kid. So you want to see him be kept in the fold. And you know, hopefully your offense shows some life and that keeps him interested there. Appreciate that with the great show. Let's go 77-0 next week. Boy, I wish, but I don't know if Jesus himself came down and played quarterback if we would win 77-0 next week. But hey, I mean, he's can make miracles happen. So we'll see. But yeah, guys, just to kind of round things out here, because we're gonna have to wrap this up soon. I do have to actually go to work tonight on my full-time job. But you know, man, at the end of the day, it's a win. A win is a win is a win. And maybe the guy that said that is a UF fan, but hey, guess what? He didn't say what team was going to win 77-0. So maybe it's us. No, I think Florida State will put up a fight next week. I don't look, I'm not going to pick us to win that game because, like I said, I don't want smoke and mirrors of we beat a 1-11 FCS team. And by the way, if you read the preview, remember, they were 120th of 123 teams in FCS in scoring offense. So that was a really, really bad FCS team too. So I don't want to like get carried away. Like, you know, I joked, oh, we're back and the committee can't leave us out after this. That was having some fun with it. This team still has a lot of warts. This team, you know, people were a little bit upset that things didn't look insanely better. We didn't fire those coordinators and Ron Dugans to get better in 2024. You're still got the same players. You still have the same offensive play caller. Randy, it's you know, it's game 11. You're still running a very, very similar defense to what you did the first 10 games. It's not like you're going to make some monumental jump from getting rid of three guys. But at the same time, I think the most important takeaway here is that You won, right? You won like you were supposed to. You covered the spread. You saw Luke get some really good game experience. You saw him get work on that timing, get those reps. You saw the young tight ends perform well again. It's just an offensive showing that we haven't seen all season. And I know it's against a bad defense, but, you know, again, you hope that it can buoy you into that game next week because you did put up over 300 yards. You did score over 21 points. You did the things that you're supposed to do. The team is probably feeling pretty good about at least not having to come off the field and go into the locker room after a loss. So, you know, not a big win from the size of the game or the caliber of the opponent, but at the end of the day, you got a win and you did it comfortably. And at least it boosts your mentals, it boosts your psyche. And, you know, hopefully, I think if we had won, you know, 20-10 or something like that. Yeah, Doak would have been pretty gosh darn empty next week. But I think now you'll have some people that hopefully this, you know, I don't think anyone's expecting us to win that game, but you just want to see him put up a fight. But I'm going to be there. I'm excited for that. I won't really say excited, but I'm excited to be back in Tallahassee. So if any of you guys are going to be at that game, we'll be tailgating in lot 7 right by the stadium. So feel free to drop by and say, hey, looking forward to that. We'll give some more details on that as the week comes up. But, you know, again, last thing here, you know, comment that we got is it was a good win, not a good opponent, but good for morale. We wanted to blow out fashion for the first time this year. And yeah, I mean, that's where I'm at, right? I think it's just this team has been so downtrodden with everything that's happened throughout the season that you just want to see something positive for those guys. And so I know this is going to, you know, the young guys are getting, some of these guys are getting their first opportunity. And so for them to go in there and play well and get a win, that's going to boost their confidence too. Now, is it going to help you win next week? I don't know. We'll see, but you just got to feel good about it. So we'll see. You know, one more game and then this train wreck is over with, this train wreck of a season. I'm excited to see some of these offseason hires. You know, like we talked about, I think you have some young talent on this team. You just want to see them stay around Tallahassee because if you keep them, you make good hires and you have a really good portal class, then I think you can flip things because that 2025 schedule is not that brutal. You have Alabama at home, you go to Miami, you go, get Miami at home, then you go to the Swamp to play Florida. But other than that, I mean, that's, you know what I mean? That's pretty much, you don't have a lot of tough teams on that schedule next year. I was pretty disappointed in the way they ended because I really wanted to get the shutout there. I hate they gave that up. We haven't given out a spiked baseball. And for those of you that don't know the tradition, anytime that you get a shutout, the football coach gets gifted a baseball with a spike, or like a railroad spike in it from the baseball coach. And so we haven't had one of those in quite a long time. I don't think Adam Fuller has ever had one. So that's a tradition that is taking a while to get back, but hopefully we can get one of those soon. But yeah, man, I'm happy, right? Like I'm happy to get a win. And I think that's kind of where we're all at right now. It's just a sigh of relief because, you know, again, it started slow, and if they had lost this game, man, how terrible would we all have felt if they had lost this game? So just, you know, some of us would have been happy because you probably would have fired Mike Norvell, but, you know, at the end of the day, I think that would have been just, that would have easily supplanted Jacksonville State as the worst loss in program history if you had done that. But yeah, that's, you know, it's a win, and it's a big win in from a score reason. And so happy to see the team just, you know, come out and play hard, man. They played hard and they got the win. They did what they were supposed to, because you could have seen them lay down on this one. But yeah, guys, so I think we're going to get ready to kind of wrap it up here. Like I said, I got to kind of jump off here and get ready to go to work. But yes, that is the spike baseball is a tradition that we would like to see happen more often here, because it is pretty cool the way they started that back with Mike Martin and with Mickey Andrews. So pretty cool tradition. We just haven't seen a whole lot of it lately, but yeah, man, let's see. And one last thing from Jeff Hill here, contributes to the show again, which we definitely appreciate. This next week, don't get embarrassed, keep it close, make it respectable. I don't expect to win. Jeff, I think that's right where we're all at, right? I think you go into this game, I think your mentality here, final thoughts, is you go into this game, you hope the team plays hard because it's a rivalry game. You hope they show up. You hope they give them a fight. And if you find yourselves in a game in the fourth quarter, look, anything can happen. But I don't think you go into this one expecting to beat a team that, you know, really, if you rewind back to that Georgia game, had Lagway not have got hurt, that was only a 14-point game, and it was really, really close when Lagway went out. So they could have potentially upset Georgia. They beat LSU. Then they beat a highly ranked Ole Miss team, which, you know, Lane Kiffin still cannot, you know, he struggles to win the big game. I know he beat Georgia, but still struggles to win the big game there. So Florida's got a lot of momentum going. But, you know, man, I just really think that I think you go in there and you hope that you, and hope is not a strategy. We say that all the time on this show. Hope is not a strategy, but you hope that they play hard. It's a rivalry game. It's a lot of these guys' last game in Doak Campbell Stadium. So you hope they go in there and they play hard. And so, you know, I'll be there. I'll be cheering them on. Hopefully the crowd shows up a little bit and gives some juice there. I don't think anybody's really expecting to win that game based on beating a 1-11 FCS team, but you want to see them keep it respectable. And so I think Luke will start in that game, because I think that's kind of the plan with this. Get him the reps. You know, do all that stuff. So appreciate that. Give it, plant the spear a thumbs up. We really appreciate that. Like and subscribe if you enjoyed this. And so, you know, I'll be there. I'm excited about it. You just, like I said, man, I really hope that I hope that we can give them a fight next week. That's all I want. You know, so if you guys are going to be at Doak Campbell Stadium, make sure you stop by and say hi. Appreciate that, man. I hope you guys have a great weekend too. And so, you know, hey, it's you know, here's the thing. It's Noles for life no matter what. It's always Garnet and Gold. I know there's some people who are really down about the season, understandably so, myself included. It's always going to be Florida State. I'm never going to cheer for anybody else. So, you know, I really appreciate that from everybody. You know, just keep rocking with the guys, man. We're going to get back there. This is Florida State. We're not going to stay down forever. So, you know, until the next one, make sure you tune in next week. I'm going to be doing a co-show with a Florida friend of mine that covers Florida. So we'll give you an inside look at the Gators there on what's coming up. We're going to have, of course, our preview show. We'll keep you up to date on any coaching hires or recruiting news. Early signing day is coming up as well. So appreciate all you guys watching. Hey, enjoy it. We haven't had many of these, right? We haven't had many good Saturdays yet. So you guys enjoy it. You guys have a great weekend. I appreciate you all watching, and go Noles.